Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Let's go around the NFL to keep you in the loop. Brought to you by BioCleanTex.com on Sports Radio 610.
Shout out to BioCleanTex. So get your office clean. Check it out, BioCleanTex.com. Let's go around the league. Texans lose to the Steelers 28-21. Elsewhere in the division, we know the Jags already lost, so they're 1-2. But the Titans remain unbeaten because of the foot of Steven Gostkowski. Struggled week one, 55-yarder with around 2 minutes left. Vikings fall to the Titans 31-30, and the Titans improve to 3-0. You think Jonathan Joseph is enjoying himself out there in Tennessee along with Jadeveon Clowney?
I think he is. There's no question about that. How about Gostkowski with the winning margin of victory in all three games for the Titans? 55, 58?
55.
55, something like that. That's impressive.
Jets fall to the Colts 36-7. The Colts are now 2-1 after losing the opener to the Jags. It appears that their identity is very clear: defense and running the football.
They have the best defense in the NFL, and no one really expected that. I mean, we knew they were going to, you know, putting some assets on the defensive side. They had some nice players, real good players, on the defensive side, but they're giving up 225 yards a game, 70 yards better than the second best defense in the NFL. Colts defense is for real, man. 15 points a game as well.
Bills remain unbeaten, 35-32. Josh Allen, people starting to come around on Josh Allen. Bills, it's an impressive win. That's an impressive Rams team, 3-0 in Buffalo.
After they blew, they got outscored 29 points after they had a big lead. He comes back, takes them on the winning drive. He's just a player, man. I mean, did you see what he did with the apology form that he posted or they posted for in the Bills Mafia on several social media platforms, apologizing to Josh Allen for not believing in him?
Patriots beat the Raiders 36-20. We thought that Cam Newton might struggle for the Pats. We saw all these guys opt out, and they not only beat a very good Raiders team, they tapped the brakes off of them.
They did.
36-20.
And then Cam Newton gave us the meme of the year so far with that slide out of the bench. Did you see that thing? But Patriots, God, I hate it, but you got to give them so much respect for what they're doing. Bill Belichick, more than anybody, for adjusting to new personnel and all the opt-outs as well.
They'll be here in November. Cleveland Browns. Texans play them next week. Cleveland Browns are 2-1. They beat the Washington football game 34-20, and it looks like their identity is very clear.
Mm-hmm.
Run the damn ball. That's what the Browns are doing. Nick Chubb, 19 carries, 108 yards, 2 touchdowns. Cleveland's a scary team. Cleveland is a very scary team, and it appears that they at least know what the strength is of their squad. They're going to run the ball. They're going to try to play defense. They're going to try to wear you down, and they still got some talent in the skill positions. That's going to be a tough test for the Texans whenever they face Cleveland.
It is, and I was on them a year too early. You nailed it as far as the Browns. They're going to have their ups and downs. I'm still not 100% sure how much I believe in Baker Mayfield, but they're running the ball. They got a tandem that's about as good as anybody.
Eagles and Bengals tie at 23. A tie for the Bengals and Eagles. Both remain winless. I thought Joe Burrow was going to have his first come-from-behind win
ever.
I thought he was going to have his moment. It's going to have to wait, but he still looks pretty good for a rookie. You still got to like. If you're the Bengals, you're approaching this 0-2-1 start much differently than if you are the Eagles.
I mean, baby steps. They're just basically they're going to be taking what they can, developing with Joe Burrow. I was with you that the national game switched to that one, and I was all about he just has that look. He just looks the part.
Chicago 30, Atlanta 26. Bears 3-0, and they have a new quarterback. Mm-hmm. Nick Foles has replaced Mitch Trubisky, the Nick Foles era beginning in Chicago, 3-0.
And the Bears made it official today. He's officially the starting quarterback, not just in that one game when Trubisky was benched. Nick Foles is the starting quarterback. Man, how different could things have been right now in Chicago and Houston had the Bears maybe drafted someone else and
Maybe Deshaun Watson. Maybe even a little Pat Mahomes.
Yeah.
49ers 36, Giants 9. I know it's the Giants, and I know they're not good. But this is probably the most impressive win of the weekend.
Mm-hmm.
San Francisco was without probably maybe their 8 best players.
Yeah.
They didn't have their best receiver in Deebo Samuel. They didn't have their starting running back in Ryan Mostert. They didn't have one of the best tight ends in the league in George Kittle.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't have Jimmy Garoppolo. They didn't have Richard Sherman. They didn't have Nick Bosa. They didn't have Dee Ford. But other than that, they had their guys, and they beat the crap out of the Giants. Say what you want. That is a hell of a job by Kyle Shanahan and his football team to win that game.
Coaching matters, huh? I think coaching matters. We know that in this town more than anybody.
Panthers 21, Chargers 16. Matt Rhule gets his first win. In Carolina, Tampa Bay, 28-10 over the Denver Broncos. Denver is depleted. Jarrell Casey, now the latest Bronco to get injured. He is out for the season with a torn bicep. Mike Evans has a touchdown in every game he's played with Tom Brady. 2 touchdowns yesterday. Brady and Evans starting to get that chemistry going. And I'm telling you, that Tampa Bay defense is one of the most underrated units in the entire league. They're going to be a problem.
I thought that's what kept them in the game early. Obviously, Brady and Evans did their deal, but it wasn't this big of a it wasn't this lopsided early on. Their defense was really helping them all along the way.
Ugly loss for DeAndre Hopkins and the Arizona Cardinals. They lose to the Lions 26-23. Lions snap an 11-game losing streak. However, it wasn't because of Nuke.
Nope.
Nuke Hopkins with 10 more catches for 137 yards.
He's leading the league in yards, leading the league in receptions. I think 30%, 36% of the Cardinals' offense goes through DeAndre Hopkins right now.
So they're not spreading the ball out?
Must be nice.
They're not spreading the ball out?
Hey, they've got a target, and they trust him.
Dallas falls to Seattle 38-31. They didn't have the left side of their offensive line, and it kind of showed for the Cowboys. My biggest takeaway from this game I can't believe it. Alden Smith's already a top 5 player in the NFL.
He's huge. He's huge. Not in terms of size, like his presence is huge.
He is already, right now, as we sit, a guy who didn't play football for 5 seasons is already one of the top 5 players in the NFL on defense.
How much are you getting paid?
It's like $2 million in incentives. It's like up to $4 million. 2 more sacks yesterday. He was manhandling. And I say this with the utmost respect. He was manhandling Dwayne Brown yesterday at times.
Oh, yeah.
Manhandling
him.
Oh,
yeah.
And this is a guy who hasn't played in 5 years. I threw out the possibility of the Texans bringing in Alden Smith to you, and you hiked your leg on it.
I did.
And I don't even blame you. I really don't blame you.
No, I did.
Because, A, that rap sheet's next level. B, nobody in their right mind could think that this guy would do what he's doing right now in the last 5 years. But Aldon Smith is unbelievable.
How many players can come back, have come back from that long of a layoff?
5 years.
To immediately have that big of an impact.
5 years, dude.
Crazy. It's crazy. But on the other hand, Russell Wilson is, I mean, he's your MVP leader by a long stretch.
Yeah.
I did think about this, and I want to ask you, be honest, give me your top three or top five MVP candidates in order right now. We know Russell Wilson's number one.
I think you're going to hear two of them tonight on Sports Radio 610.
And they are?
Pat Mahomes, Lamar Jackson, Russell Wilson.
This is my order of how they've played through 3 weeks. Not their press clippings, not anything else. Russell Wilson, number one. Aaron Rodgers, number two. That dude. We'll get to that. That dude.
God.
He's the smoothest quarterback. You talk about this, you know, spectacular play by this guy or the electricity that this guy provides. Just smooth, man. He's a smooth operator, as they said. Number three, Josh Allen. I don't see how you can argue that. Then Lamar Jackson, then Patrick Mahomes.
Man.
Coaching matters. Development matters. That's my point here.
Green Bay, they beat the Saints 37-30. Saints now 1-2 on the season. That's a coach's vision actually coming into account. Mm-hmm. Like, a year or two ago, Green Bay decided, we don't want to keep Jordy Nelson. We don't want Randall Cobb. We want to focus on building a defense,
mm-hmm.
and we want to focus on building an offensive line and running the football. It's played out.
Yeah.
It's played out to where they got one of the best rushing attacks in the entire NFL. Their defense is extremely improved, and it's playing out. Their vision, Matt LaFleur's vision, is playing out. Meanwhile, in Houston, the vision might be playing out, but it's not playing out the way you or I hoped it would.
Right.
Might be King Bill's vision, but it's not playing out the way that we wanted it to.
Well, that's my point. I mean, with these top five MVP candidates, Aaron Rodgers, Matt LaFleur, they're just humming right now. They're just humming along. And they didn't even draft an offensive guy. They drafted a quarterback. Well, you know, an offensive weapon for him. They drafted a quarterback in the first round, and he's just slinging it all over the place.
How does Alvin Kamara get 6 carries?
That guy can. He might be the best all around player in the game.
But 6 carries.
That's it.
What are you doing, Sean Payton? What are you doing? 13 catches.
Mm-hmm.
139 yards.
And 6 carries. Is Drew Brees taking a step back?
Yeah, but it's Father Time. It happens. Yeah. Plus, oh, by the way, newsflash. Michael Thomas hasn't played the last two games.
Yeah.
They've lost both of them.
Yeah.
It is kind of fascinating when you talk about, you know, the receiving position and who values it and who doesn't. Because Arizona, despite yesterday's loss, they're 2-1 and they look pretty good with DeAndre Hopkins.
Mm-hmm.
They invested in DeAndre Hopkins. It's paying off. Buffalo, you just mentioned Josh Allen. A lot of people are coming out, around on Josh Allen. They traded for Stephon Diggs. And they're 3-0, and Josh Allen's taking the next step in large part because he has that receiving threat. Just mentioned the Saints without Michael Thomas, who was the only receiver in the league last year
mm-hmm.
That accounted for more of his offense than DeAndre Hopkins did. They're 0-2 without him. Texans, 0-3 without Nuke Hopkins.
Yep.
And then you have Minnesota, 0-3 after trading Stephon Diggs. The teams that valued receivers
mm-hmm.
are winning, and the teams that either have their elite receiver out or traded them are losing.
Yeah, absolutely. Go figure. I mean, it's no secret. I mean, if you play fantasy football, you know the value of a big-time game-changing receiver, much less real football.
Let's hear from the people, 713-572-4610. Monday Night Football tonight on Sports Radio 610, Chiefs versus Ravens. I'm excited for that one. I'm also excited to hear from the city next.
It's a Reaction Monday, presented by Coors Light on Sports Radio 610. Here's In the Loop with Landry and Lopez.
I mean, it's just coming in like crazy. This is from Warren Sharp at Sharp Football on Twitter. The rookie draft class for the Texans didn't play a single offensive or defensive snap. It's the first time in franchise history.
Yeah,
according to Aaron Reese of The Athletic. David Johnson, he has the NFL's worst success rate, 38%, and yards per carry of 3.5 of any running back in the entire NFL.
Anyone. Second most touches, isn't that what you said? Snaps?
Snaps, yeah. Second highest percentage of snaps, Zeke Elliott's ahead of him.
So he's on the field more than just about any running back in football outside of Zeke Elliott. Or he is. He's on the field more than any running back in football outside of Zeke Elliott, and he's the least productive. Sell me on David Johnson. You're Bill O'Brien. Little role play here. What do you tell the masses? What do you tell your team? What do you tell your quarterback? That we're doing it right with David Johnson.
I got nothing for you.
Sell me this pen and it's easier.
What do you want
it's
me to say?
It's easier for you to sell me this pen.
What do you want me to say?
I think they need to make
What do you want me to say?
I'm telling you. When I came in this morning and we're in pre-show and you said, so what, you know, what do you got? What are your big takeaways? What's the first thing I said?
David Johnson needs to be benched.
He has to be benched. Oh, but that's too hasty. No, it's not. It's not too hasty. This is the third year in a row that he's been this. 2 years ago, oh, but he had 945 yards rushing. Look at his per carry average. I think it's 3.5. That ain't going to cut it. Well, what about last year? No, he had 345 yards rushing, and then he got benched. Yeah, but he's an every down back. Bill O'Brien said so. No, he's not. We've seen it. Yeah, he's great out of the backfield. Yeah, he can be. He's not good, and it really hurts me to say that because he's a good dude. He really is. I mean, wasn't he like Arizona's Walter Payton
man
guy
of the year, yeah.
And all that? But we're talking business now, man. It's like trying to buy a car from your best friend. Yeah, man, I love you, but let's get the best deal we can. Or is this a good deal or a bad deal? You give me a bad deal right now. David Johnson, you cannot sell me that he's the starting running back for a team that fancies itself as a contender.
A lot of questions can be answered by a coach, even in the worst situations. Like, questions can be answered. But there's no logical answer or no logical explanation to explain why they can't run the ball. You invested all this in the offensive line. You thought this highly of David Johnson. It's either the schematic or it's either a personnel thing. And either way, it all points to one guy.
Yep.
Like, all across the country, there are teams that are pissed off. There are fan bases that are pissed off. There are cities that are pissed off. There are people that turn on the microphone, and they're pissed off. But they can at least point the finger in different directions. They can say, yeah, but this GM, he brought in these players. Or, yeah, this coach, he did this, that. There's only one finger to point here, and it's Bill O'Brien.
Be careful now.
One finger. Pick one. 713-572-4610 if you want to get in. Let's go to Mickey. Mickey, you're on In the Loop.
Hey, guys. I was in the Carolinas for 8 days, and I sure miss you guys. But just I want to make a couple points because I talked to my golfing buddies. And like I said before, you guys all owe me three pizzas a piece, but I'll waive that because I love you guys. But here's the deal. Bill O'Brien cannot manage. He cannot multitask. And what's so sad is I taped the interview afterwards. He doesn't understand. It's just like a couple years ago we made the playoffs and we played KC and we had Hoyer at the rim. And what does he do? He has a terrible first half. So we come out second half and think, man, he's going to make a change. Bill O'Brien cannot coach. He's hard-headed. He's like that Gunter guy that was at KC years ago. So what's a shame is I love the town. I'd like to see a great team. But I had one of my fans call me and say, hey, why don't you call in? So I appreciate you taking
one of my
me.
Fans.
Here's the deal with Bill O'Brien. He cannot coach. So I think what I'd like to challenge you guys in a friendly way is we should have a segment that I could listen to tomorrow, why we should fire Bill O'Brien. Because if you look at what he did, if I was his boss, I would say, Bill, you called only a couple teams, and you got this guy, David Johnson, who has a history of being hurt. You know, what are you thinking? And I just don't know if Bill has pictures of somebody, but it's just really sad because, you know, JJ's playing his tail off, and we get rid of the best backfield guy or defensive back, the Honey Badger instincts. You can't coach that. DJ Reader, who's, you know, stops the run, and, you know, and then the best wide receiver, you know, Fuller can only catch it if it's right into him. Yet, you know, our old guy, he could get the ball. So I'd like to hear what everybody has to say because I'm really not PO'd. I'm not mad. I'm passionate. But I just hate to see Houston. But here's what I'd like to say, and I hope you guys agree with me. B.O.B. always say, well, I do this for the team and this, that, and the other. But, you know, we have no draft picks because he's blown that, what, a third round next year. So if he wants to do something for the good of the team, he should quit. So I would like to hear you guys comment. If B.O.B. wants to help the Texans, he just should just quit the team and turn it over because he says don't push a panic button. Well, what are we supposed to do? We could be the only team that may not win a game all year, but I'll hang up and listen.
Oh, no, the Jets ain't going to win. But other than that, Mickey, good job on that. You look at what this team has right now, and Bill O'Brien.
I want to be one of Mickey's golfing buddies.
I do too. In a sense, David Johnson has painted Bill O'Brien into a corner. Because if he keeps starting him and he stinks the rest of the season, that's Bill O'Brien, the general manager. If he benches him, that's Bill O'Brien who traded away DeAndre Hopkins for a guy that he benched. He can't win on this one. He can't win. The only thing is if David Johnson flips a switch and gains 800 yards the rest of the season or 1,000 yards the rest of the season or whatever.
The problem that I have is I asked two questions heading into this game.
Mm-hmm.
And I want you to tell me if these questions can be answered now.
Okay.
The first question I had was, are the Texans willing and or able to run the ball? Can you answer that?
Willing, not able.
Okay.
They clearly are willing.
The second question I had was, is this team, are teams basically just picking their poison? And while teams have been able to run the ball on the Texans, are they just doing that because that's all they have to do? Because I think there's some serious holes in this secondary, too, that have not been as exposed as they could be. Mm-hmm. Roethlisberger yesterday, the pass interference on Bradley Roby was a bad call.
Yeah.
And I think the Texans caught a tough break. But before that play, A.J. Moore and Vernon Hargraves got burned.
Mm-hmm.
And Ben missed the guy. So the Texans got a break there.
Yeah.
I think that this defense, who, God bless Anthony Weaver for what he's getting out of the guys, he's bringing a knife to a gunfight. But I think the worst is yet to come for this defense. I think this is just an all-around, front-to-back, very bad defense. And I think that other teams are going to have a chance to expose this defense that's been neglected by Bill O'Brien even more than we've already seen. Do you feel like
mm-hmm.
the three teams that we've seen beat the Texans?
Right.
Because you've heard Bill O'Brien say it 100 times. He has said, we've played three very good teams. We've played three good teams. We played three good teams. You hear it all the time. He puts yeah. that in there to let you know. Do you feel like any of these teams played their A game? Do you feel like you watched the A game of the Chiefs, Ravens, or Steelers?
Question.
Do you feel like these teams were ever threatened?
I think Steelers in the second half played their A game. Defense was their defense. Offense made big plays. And James Conner was just eating. I mean, just eating and eating it. Second half Steelers. First half Chiefs. And that's about it as far as A game. What do you think?
I don't think any of these teams have had to have
Steelers,
had the stress.
Steelers had it going on yesterday. Now it was a lot of it self inflicted.
I think
by
they
Bill
just
O'Brien.
Had to show up.
Yeah,
like I don't feel like what the Steelers did yesterday in the second half would be good enough to beat a lot of teams in the NFL.
Well,
I think it's good enough to beat this team, but I think if the Steelers are gonna win games, they're gonna have to be even better than they were in the second half. But I think the Texans are so poorly coached offensively and so thin personnel-wise on defense to where all the Steelers really had to do was just make basic adjustments
just be themselves.
And then just bully the Texans.
Well, but see, that's you just touched on what I think is the most important thing of these three games. Bill O'Brien was just pantsed in terms of coaching all three times because he had some chances.
Pantsed.
Yeah, he was just pantsed in the second half yesterday. I mean, was he not?
Yeah.
I mean, Mike Tomlin and the defensive staff, well, heck, the offensive staff, he didn't have an answer for any. Bill O'Brien and the offensive staff, Tim Kelly, could not figure out anything to do offensively to counter what the Steelers were doing. Nothing. I mean, they had 51 yards, two first downs, sacked, interception. That's on that. Yes, Deshaun Watson and David Johnson had some problems. We've talked about that. Deshaun Watson was asked to do too much. David Johnson was just not good. But that's still on the coaching staff for not answering that. And then against the Ravens and the Chiefs, they just coach circles around him.
713-572-4610, if you want to get in. Why Sunday could actually be the beginning of the end for Bill O'Brien next.
Live from the Twin Peaks Studios, it's a Reaction Monday, presented by Coors Light on Sports Radio 610. Here's In the Loop with Landry and Lopez.
For years, we thought we were a quarterback away. We said this team is elite. They are a great quarterback away from being elite. Here we are, and this team's done a complete 180. As I sit here today following the Texans' 0-3 start, I feel like they have a good quarterback, and they're missing everything else. It has been a complete 180 under the watch of Bill O'Brien. And for me, J-Lo, that's a damn shame. It is a damn shame what has happened to the talent of this roster, the repetitive schematic issues on offense, the fact that investments don't actually play out on the field. The offensive line continues to be a problem despite investments. It's not fun for anybody, to say the very least.
It's not, and It's Bill O'Brien's season. Bill O'Brien's season opened the day. He's always been, you know, criticized, questioned, rubbed people the wrong way because of his personality, his irritability, et cetera. But you could always, you know, you could always see at least what direction he was pointed in his view. You don't necessarily have to agree with it, but in his view, what direction he wanted this team to go. After Clowney and Hopkins, and now this, it's really hard to defend anything about what Bill O'Brien has done to this organization because you just laid it out perfectly. You know, they've gone from having a roster that was just in need of a quarterback to a quarterback in need of a roster, and that points to one guy, and that's Bill O'Brien.
I think Sunday could be the beginning of the end. I think Sunday could be the beginning of the end. Because if Gary Kubiak comes here with his 0-3 team as the offensive coordinator and Cal McNair has to sit in the owner's suite with fans in the stands and see that this guy that he's trusted this much has things that bad, I think a lost Sunday could truly, I really truly believe this, could be the beginning of the end for Bill O'Brien. I 100% believe it.
I mean, I want to believe you, but I just keep going back to the faith they have in him. Our insider, you know, especially John McClain, saying that they have his back, they believe in his plan. I want to believe you. And in any normal organization, he'd already be gone. He's in year seven, and they're not getting better; they're getting worse. So he'd already be gone. Look what's going on in New York, you know, with the Jets. Adam Gase is in year two, and he's getting fired. I mean, he might get fired this week. But that's not the case here because for whatever reason, they trust Bill O'Brien.
713-572-4610. Let's go to Larry in Stafford. Larry, you're on Reaction Monday. Go ahead.
Well, buckle up, fellas, because it's about that time we have some truth telling here. Look here, y'all being too nice. Y'all being way too nice. Let's relitigate this stuff, man. You're talking about this Sunday may be the death knell for Bill O'Brien. We could sit back and look at all the decisions that this clown had made, starting back from the Andre Johnson debacle, the Arian Foster playing him in the Miami game, the Wayne Brown debacle, the Ty the time the Honey Badger debacle. We can go back to a litany of things that Bill O'Brien has done to strategically ruin this team and make this team and this fan base feel like they are still dealing with stuff that should have been dealt with years ago. Dan Quinn or whatever that Atlanta Falcons coach, he's been to the Super Bowl, and his ass is finna get run completely out of Atlanta. So we know that there's opportunities for the Texans to do the right thing here because it's not going to get no better, fellas. But when I say y'all are being too nice, y'all are being too nice because y'all saying that David Johnson should be benched. David Johnson should be cut, and we know he should be cut. And not only should David Johnson's ass be cut, if Whitney Merciless' ass isn't on a Greyhound bus on his way out of Houston, his ass should be cut because you cannot continuously put these guys out there that you're paying $30 million to between the two of them, and they are giving you zero stats on the stat sheet. David Johnson had 23 yards rushing, and then I flip my ass over to the red zone, and I see DeAndre Hopkins have 137 yards receiving, and we are still sitting here debating this silly-ass stuff that Bill O'Brien did. There is nobody on this planet that will ever convince me that the trading of this DeAndre Hopkins has not had a huge effect on the play of Deshaun Watson. And now we are sitting here watching him experience the same dejected look that David Carr had back in 2003, 2004. Look, fellas, this isn't that complicated. Y'all are the Texas flagship station. All I need you to do is text me Cal or Janice McNair phone number. And when I get that phone number, I will personally call their ass themselves and set up this meeting that they need to have with somebody like me that can shake them and tell their ass the truth. Because the reality is we are going to spend the rest of 2020 watching this team cater down the drain, and then we're going to have to sit here and we're going to have to look at the fact that now Deshaun Watson is now being compared to the likes of Wentz and all these other Driscoll and all these other scrubs. J-Lo, we've been in this town a long time, man. We watched them all us, and we watched them Texans do this to us. It's time for it to stop. And the only way it's going to stop if Cal McNair drop his balls and go ahead and go out here and do what he know he needs to do, because Bill O'Brien is never going to give us what we want, and that's a championship. And right now, how you fix that problem, you fire his ass, you go get Alonzo Highsmith to be your GM, then you go and figure out how to get my boy up in Kansas City, Eric Bieniemy, or go get Riley from OU or David Shaw or somebody else that can go ahead and let Deshaun Watson be the kind of stud that we know he is. All this Bill O'Brien and Jack Easter Bunny stuff, y'all can miss me with that crap because them fools ain't nothing but holy Jesus waters walking around with sandals on trying to convince everybody that Brandon Cooks is one of the best Jesus servants in the world. I'm going to let y'all go with this. It ain't going to get no better. And Minnesota, with Gary Kubiak and Dom Capers, are coming to town to kick that ass. And it's going to be real bad in our hollow.
Man, I don't even – can you imagine? We're just on Reaction Monday from the Steelers game right now. Oh, my goodness.
By the way, Whitney Merciless, it's a $15 million cap hit next year.
Yeah.
So he ain't going nowhere.
Honest question, who wins in a foot race, Ben Roethlisberger or Whitney Merciless?
Well, I saw it yesterday. What do you mean who wins?
Ben turned the corner on him. Big Ben turned – Big Ben, 38 years old.
He should never run again, by the way. I'm surprised he ran that.
He looked like me trying to run out there with my bad back and my bad knees. And he stiff-armed Whitney. Get off me. Get off me, Whitney. You and your $15 million contract. Got the first down. Oh, no, did they give him a bad mark on that? I think they gave him a bad mark on that.
Yeah, yeah, they reviewed it, but they kept the play on the field. So then they just went forward on fourth.
Yeah.
To me, I think the stats tell you how bad this offense is. And common sense tells you how bad this offense is. The Steelers really kind of showed what the rest of the NFL thinks about this offense on their first possession when they were inside the 20. And it was fourth and one, and they just kicked a field goal.
Yeah.
Because the Texans respected the Ravens' offense so much that they went for it on fourth and one from their own 30. The Steelers have such little respect for a Deshaun Watson-led offense that on fourth and one, in a league in which analytics
tells you
are more
and
rapid
Mike
than they've
Tomlin
ever been.
Mike Tomlin is one of the most willing usually to go for it.
They kicked a field goal, and they basically said this offense isn't going to blow us out. 3 points will be enough.
How about, you know, forget all the inside-the-game stuff and adjustments that the Steelers ran circles around the Texans yesterday. How about the obvious stuff that the layman could easily have seen? Once the Texans got hot, the Steelers did go for it on their own side of the field because that was just a good coach getting with a feel of the game, going for it, getting it done. How about the play calling in the fourth quarter by the Steelers? Late third, early fourth. It was brilliant stuff. I mean, they had the Texans just guessing. And, of course, the defense was already kind of on his heels and gassed. James Conner, once they got him a lead blocker, it wasn't Watt, it was the other one. But anyway, and they saw that worked two straight plays, they went back to it three more times. I mean, they just, like, the obvious things that they were doing, just out-coaching the Texans, like, up one side and down the other. I mean, it was embarrassing.
713-572-4610. Let's go to Dwayne. Dwayne, you're on In the Loop. Go ahead.
Fellas, how many times are we going to watch the same movie and expect it to end differently? Nothing ever changes. We go out, we have a good first half, we go into halftime, the other team makes adjustments, evidently we don't, and we come out and try to run the same plays, and they stop us. It happens every week.
Yes,
I mean,
it does.
Gee whiz. Mm-hmm. I'm no football guru, but I can see that.
No, you're right. You're right.
Seeing what we're seeing, Dwayne. You are absolutely seeing what we're seeing. Let's go to Bob. Bob, you're on In the Loop on Reaction Monday. Go ahead.
Yeah, I'm following up with the same thing, the obviousness. Two points. Run on first down, run on second down, and then spread on third. And they're not even taking advantage of all those carries and using play action, which would totally help them. They did this back in the year we played with in the playoffs against the Raiders, and they finally, Bill O'Brien would call a play on first down and go deep. And they had no idea it was coming. Every time he did it, about once a game, we'd be wide open. I just don't understand how he can't make those adjustments. It seems like they're not even trying to adapt. And the obvious play calling, a high school defensive coordinator could see this and pick it up and defend against it. And that's all I wanted to say.
Yeah, it's a bad offensive system. I mean, it's bad. Mm-hmm. I mean, and there's a reason why Bill O'Brien isn't calling plays this year, because it hasn't been good. The numbers lie. The numbers don't lie, though. Like, it's not a good offensive system. And it's the exact same with Tim Kelly. The guy who's followed him around for 10 years, go figure. It's the same. It's just it's a bad offensive system. It leaves the quarterback vulnerable no matter who's on the offensive line. It's stagnant. No matter who the receivers are, it's just a bad offensive system, and it's a less talented football team than Bill O'Brien's used to, and he only has himself to blame for it.
No, he's the one, the architect, if you will, of everything going on over there. And then there's the personnel side of it. I mean, the three rookies, not a single rookie played yesterday that they drafted.
On offense or defense. First time in franchise history.
Yeah.
The rookies don't know anything.
And they've traded first round picks before. Mm-hmm. Like it's not like this is the only year they didn't have a first round pick. Think about this.
Yeah.
First time in franchise history, a rookie doesn't play an offensive or defensive snap. And it's that mindset. It's that stubborn ace mindset where the rookies don't know anything, where that's just how it is. And this whole thing, this whole reality that we watch every single Sunday is a display of stubbornness by the head coach. And as much as it stinks, this is exactly what he wanted. And what stinks even worse is we saw this coming.
Yes.
We saw this coming. We weren't sitting here celebrating the DeAndre Hopkins trade or the Clowney trade or the decision to let Kareem Jackson go. Mm-hmm. We weren't sitting here celebrating that. We were questioning these moves from day one. From day one, we were questioning him. And now it's just coming into play, John. It's coming into play, and it's right in front of us.
And even the other aspects of drafting and building your roster. Yes. So you bring in David Johnson, I mean, as you just said, we're shaking our head. We're going, what is he thinking? You know who was drafted right behind Ross Blacklock, who couldn't get on the field yesterday?
Yeah, the guy who I wanted them to draft.
Jonathan Taylor, who is killing it in Indianapolis.
J.K. Dobbins is playing for the Ravens. You'll see him tonight. That's who I wanted the Texans to take.
And even the next guy, the next two guys behind Ross Blacklock, it's that Viska Chenault from Jacksonville, who they love, the receiver, return man, explosive. Texans could use that too, right?
This is what the harsh reality is as we're sitting right now. And I think this is a good display of Bill O'Brien not getting what he shops for. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
In the last year, the Texans have invested a crap ton in the offensive line, and they've traded a third-round pick for Duke Johnson.
Mm-hmm.
They've traded DeAndre Hopkins for David Johnson and Ross Blacklock, who can't get on the field. And at the end of the season, running back's going to be the biggest need for the Texans.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Think about that.
And wide receiver.
Think about that. Yeah.
And wide receiver.
Think about that.
Mm-hmm.
And you're still going to have the same needs that you had heading into this offseason,
mm-hmm.
but running back is going to be one of the biggest needs for this team. That's a tough pill to swallow. That's a tough, 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 tough pill to swallow when it comes to the situation and how Bill O'Brien has built this team.
Yeah, and that's all you need to know right there. Absolutely, that's a good way to put it. You know, the answers that you brought in are going to be questions after this season, period.
Go to Gil. Gil, you're on Reaction Monday. Go ahead.
Did you say Gil?
Yes, yeah. I did.
Yeah. Thanks for having me on. It's great to hear some passionate Texans fans. First of all, season ticket holder, going through the pain and misery as everybody else. And it's great to hear comments like Larry earlier. But bottom line is I'm not ready to give up on David Johnson. Time will tell whether or not he's there, but you know, there just isn't anything there for him to run at. When he turns around and gets handed the ball and suddenly you got four or five Steelers in the backfield or four or five Ravens in the backfield, you know, there's just no holes. And we've spent years investing in an offensive line that there wasn't a single offensive lineman yesterday that wasn't beat off the snap. You got Fulton turning around watching, you know, his guy – sack Deshaun. You got Howard getting beat on the right side, you know, play after play. You got Tunsil getting beat a couple times. The only one I didn't really focus on was Nick Martin. But, you know, that's just pitiful when you spend that many years, you know, investing in an offensive line and then try to fill in with backs and they got nothing to go on.
Well,
now,
look,
I'm with you, Gil. I appreciate you, bro.
I'm not. I disagree with Gil, but I will say this. I mean, that's a fine opinion to have. Bill O'Brien looks bad if the reason that David Johnson is so awful right now is David Johnson. He looks worse if it's the offensive line. Bill O'Brien better hope.
There's no logical explanation.
I mean,
like there's really no explanation that is acceptable.
Yeah.
When it comes to Bill O'Brien as to why they can't run the ball.
He either looks really bad or worse than that, awful. Because if it's David Johnson, Bill O'Brien looks bad for bringing him in and starting him and calling him an every down back. If it's not David Johnson, if it's the offensive line, Bill O'Brien looks worse. Because this is where he put all the equity of this team, this organization, into the offensive line.
Could Sunday be the beginning of the end for Bill O'Brien? Gary Kubiak's coming to town. I'll tell you what, 0-3 versus 0-3, this could be the moment where it all comes tumbling down for Bill O'Brien. We'll see what happens.
Yeah.
We've had two questions answered. Are the Texans elite? No. Are the Texans a second-tier team in the AFC? No. As the week plays out and we head into Sunday, we're going to get the answer to the question, is it this bad? For all the loopholes, if you listen, you are a loophole. Thank you very much. For the OG John Lopez, for Figgy Fig being the best in the world at what he do, I'm Landry Locker. This has been another edition of In the Loop. Tomorrow, John McClain report card time. Ooh-wee, I can't wait for that. John McClain report card time. And we will go on to the Minnesota Vikings. Is it this bad? Who knows? But the one thing we do know, we are all in this together. Coming up,
Ron the Show Hughley and Clint Sterner as Reaction Monday continues next.
Thank you, Peggy.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.